verse 10. Hallelujah. You're in the right place at the right time today. Hallelujah. We've been teaching on following God's plan for your life and getting into that plan and take it a step further today. Father, we love you today. We're just honored to be here. So thankful, Father. And we know you have something good for us today. Lord, we're not here just to play church and just to fill some religious obligation. No, we're here to hear from heaven today, Lord, so we can be bettered. Lord, you have so many good things for us to walk into. But Father, it takes knowledge of those things. For knowledge gives birth to faith. Faith is how we receive the promises. So Father, I thank you. We get knowledge today. Faith grows and things increase in our lives. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for that. Speak through me today. My word's not my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, we'll make sure to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Like I said, we've been talking about God's plan for your life. And, we'll help you get in that plan today, but until you get into that God's plan for your life, that fullness of His plan, you'll never be satisfied. No, that went over real well. You'll never be satisfied. You might enjoy some things in life, but there'll always be something deep down that's nagging at you. Something that's just a never being fully satisfied. Satisfaction will never be complete until you get into God's plan for your life. Why? Because He has a purpose for you. He has a specific purpose for your life. And in that purpose is where everything falls into place. It's where not only does the ability to be effective in the kingdom of God and winning people to Jesus and being an influence and being a light to Him, not only does that affect it, but also that's where the blessing is for you. That's where your health will be found. That's where your divine prosperity will be found. That's where divine protection will be found. That's where divine protection and help for your children is found. That's where the peace is, the health, the joy, the victory, the freedom from fear, freedom from stress, freedom from worry is in that plan of God. And as long as you're veering on the outside of that plan, praise the Lord, you'll never be fully satisfied in life. It'll always be like there's just something missing. There's just something that's not right. It just, you know, things are good, but it just, why? It's just not working for me as well as it should. I'm here to tell you that's the truth. But I want to help you today to get into that plan. And so many people have this idea, and we'll help you with that. That's what's going to help you get into the plan, that if I give my life to God and I actually get into His plan, there goes my fun. There goes my life. No, you're going to see the Word says the exact opposite. Now, the devil and the world will want to tell you, don't get into His plan. The world and the devil will want to tell you, do your own thing. That if you submit to God and finally surrender to Him, that you're going to be missing out. That's the exact opposite of what the Word of God tells you. Now, maybe because some Christians have been stiffs, so let's just be honest, some Christians have been, you know, a terrible billboard for Jesus, doesn't mean that's how God's plan is. God's plan is not for you to be miserable. God's plan is not for you to be upset, depressed. God's plan is for you to find the most happiness, the most joy, the most prosperity, the most health, the most victory, the most peace ever. But see, the world and the devil will just jam it down your throat that if you surrender to God, well, there goes fun, there goes my life. No, that's when life starts getting good. Yeah, but I'll show you that in the Word, because some people hear plan of God, I want to keep doing my own thing. No, you don't. No, you don't. He's got such good things for him. We'll show you that today. But in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Let me read that in the Amplified translation. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, just listen along here. The Amplified just amplifies the original Greek and the Hebrew. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us." Now notice this, "taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them." Now look at the result of walking in the paths that God prepared ahead of time. Living the good life. Sick all the time is not the good life. Depressed all the time is not the good life. Wondering where the money's going to come from all the time is not the good life. But that's what the majority of the body of Christ is living. Living paycheck to paycheck. Living worry to worry. Crisis to crisis. Fear to fear. That's just the way it is. Am I preaching the truth here this morning? It's very few people that live in victory. But God says, if you'll take my paths, you know why? People want to do it themselves. They want to do their own thing. When are we going to wake up and realize He knows more than we do? That what He puts in His Word is not to hurt us. That what He puts in His Word is not to steer us wrong and to do us wrong. God doesn't want to do bad by you. But living the good life in which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Hallelujah. So God says, if you'll take the paths that I've prepared for you, the paths that I've laid out before the foundations of this world, the Bible says, if you'll take those paths, the good life will follow you.
Amen.
The good life. Hallelujah. Well, isn't that what you want? But here's what the Bible says about this. For we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Yeah, you should because it's wonderful.
Amen.
You see, religion has squashed Jesus.
Right.
Religion has squashed church. Nobody wants anything to do with church or religion because it just brings death into people's life. It's drudgery. Going to church is like quicksand. It's like just shoving your mouth full of peanut butter and crackers with nothing to drink. That's what church has become. Blah, 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 right? Yeah. I remember one time I was at a movie theater, and back when they used to do some entertainment before the movie started, and they had people eating crackers and trying to whistle. That's what church is like for most people. Nobody wants anything to do with that. Nobody wants anything to do with that. And it's because religion has told people so many times that it's so bad for you. God's plan is so... No, it's not. He said that you should walk in them. But notice He says, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to force you. The paths are there for you to walk onto, and I'm helping you get into that path, but that's up to you if you do that or not. You know, it's like this, and this would be silly. And what's funny about this is we magnify a $100 bill more than we do the plan of God for your life, which will change every area of your life. But if I said, you know what, count the people, I have that many $100 bills for everybody, and I'm going to leave them on the pulpit, everybody come grab one before you leave. If you don't get one of those, that's not my fault. And how stupid would it be to not come and take one?
Yeah.
Right? But if you don't, I can't, that's not my fault, that's not on me. So that's what God is saying. He's saying, I got this life for you. This life of blessing, this life of peace, this life of joy, the good life, the abundant life that I've promised my children. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is drudgery. No. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34 and verse 8. He wants you to experience His goodness. Yeah. And if you don't walk in them, just as dumb as it is to not come here, it's dumb. Because He's got so many good things, but the Word will help you renew your mind today. Because a lot of us have come from religious places and have wrong mindsets on it. And so we told you last week how to start getting in that plan. And first and foremost, you get born again, you become His child. But then what? Well, then there's a then what after that. And we talked about it all last week. If you weren't here, I encourage you, get on the archives and listen. You can never fulfill God's plan for your life and get all those wonderful things until you find a pastor.
Amen.
You just can't do it. Right. Heather, if you go to Matthew 9 real quick, in verse 36, this is just a little bit of review before we get going where we're going today. Matthew 9. This is one of those things where people have to say, you know what? He put it in there. I got to stop thinking what I think and start doing what the Word says to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get into God's plan, you can't get into God's plan without this. Matthew 9:36, but when He, Jesus, saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. One translation said He pitied them. You ever remember Mr. T, the AT, Mohawk, chains? He said, I pity you, fool. That's what Jesus was saying in a nicer way.
Right.
I pity you. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered. One translation says they were dejected, harassed, and bewildered. Why? They were sheep having no shepherd. The Bible calls you sheep. People that sit in church, God calls sheep. Remember He said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I do. Jesus said, okay, if you love me, feed my sheep. He wasn't talking about the ones out in the pasture. And then second time He said, Peter, do you love me? Yep, feed my sheep. Third time, Peter, do you love me? Peter at this time got mad and said, you know I do. And He said, feed my sheep. It's important to God that His people get fed. He likens them to sheep. Now imagine if a natural flock of sheep didn't have a shepherd. They'd be in trouble. Big trouble. No one to mend their wounds. No one to tend to them. No one to feed them. No one to take them to safety. No one to have a safety of a covering over them. That's what a pastor is. The word shepherd in the Greek is the word pastor. And He says people without pastors are fainted and scattered, dejected, harassed, and bewildered. Why? They're sheep without a shepherd, just wandering through life like a sheep, not knowing what to do. Listen, I'm a sheep too. I have a pastor. I'm not exempt from this. I understand that I don't know more than God. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, and verse 11, we don't have to go there, Heather, says that pastors are given to perfect the people. You can't be fully perfected without a pastor.
Right.
You know, these people that say, oh, I'll just do this, me and Jesus at home with the Bible. That all Jesus can do for you is redeem you. He can't perfect you and he can't pastor you. That's why he left people like me around here on the earth to do that. It's not his job to perfect you. It's not his job to pastor you. He said, I've sent people to you for that job, for that reason. And so many people say, oh, just me and Jesus in the Bible. Well, if you're really reading that Bible, your rear would be in church under a pastor because that's what it tells you to do. There's a guy at the Jamestown church. I've told this story. His name is Jeff Trussler. And this guy was, I hunted with him when I was younger. He had terrible addictions, terrible, just his life was a mess financially, physically, addictions. And he was mad and was going out walking on a country road and kept seeing a pile of newspapers over on the side of the road. And finally, he just got mad after like the third night of seeing it, picked it up to throw it away, and there were Bible verses on it. Well, the Word is powerful. Amen. The Word can be powerful on a country road in the middle of the dark on a newspaper. And he read it, and it spoke to him. So he started studying the Bible for 2 years, and after 2 years, he came to a conclusion. Can't do this alone. The Bible says I need a shepherd. The Bible says I need a pastor. Got into a church. You see, he got a measure of getting better in his life. But when he went to church, he got under a true biblical pastor. I'm not talking any church. I'm talking a church that will teach you the Word of God. We're not the only ones. By far, we're not the only ones. But we'll teach you the Word of God here. We'll tell you what the Bible has to say. And he got in there and the addiction started falling off him one by one. Now he's in that ministry training school down in Jamestown. He's got a call to the ministry. Praise God. His life completely changed. Why? He realized, I don't know more than you, God. I can't do this alone. It's not just me and my Bible. Woo-hoo! Oh, me and my precious Bible alone. Can't do that. Because the precious Bible alone will tell you you need a shepherd. And see, why do I say this and I'm so adamant about it? Because that's the first step to ever, ever even thinking of experiencing God's greatest for your life. If you don't submit yourself to have a pastor, you'll never experience all that God has for you. You never will. Hallelujah. So that's the first step. And we started to look at this last week. Let's go to Isaiah 1 verse 19. This is where we're going to pick up for today. Now I'm going to help you today to further get into that plan of God where the good life is. Hallelujah. The good life is not automatic. It's not automatic. Praise God. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. I mean, can we just be honest? Who wants to live the good life? I do. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be depressed. Live both of those too long. I don't want to be sick. Live there too. Don't want that anymore. I don't want to be fearful of everything. You know, you talk about the temptation for the fear level to go through the roof is when you have kids. I mean, the temptation to be in fear. I don't want to have fear every time my kids are doing stuff and every time a symptom comes on my child's body or a new thing comes out in the news. I want to live in the peace of God's health, of God's victory. Praise the Lord. You can't do that unless you're in His plan. Always be something missing. Always be something missing. Isaiah 1 and verse 19 says this. Now, maybe some of this is coming off as boldness, but you know what? I'm trying to yank you out of doing things your way and doing things His way. All it does is benefit you. And that's kind of the point of today, is to show you that the Word says that so you can take that leap. You can take that plunge into the things of God. Verse 19, it says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. Well, I know this by studying the Word, that if God wants me to eat the good of the land, He wants me to wear the good of the land. If God wants me to wear the good of the land, He wants me to drive the good of the land. If He wants me to drive the good of the land, He wants me to live in the good of the land. Say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, don't you want that for your kids? Well, He's your father. How much better is He than you are as a parent? He's way better, by the way. I'm not saying I'm the best parent, but I know this. I won't find a parent that loves their kids more than me. You might equal your love for your kid, but you won't top the love that you have for your kid more than mine. But I know God's way better than me. Even as much as I love my kids and care for them and do everything I can, I know He tops that by bazillions. Praise God. I don't know. It just says, eat the good of the land. Why did Job, who the Bible said the devil stole everything from, Job was the richest man on planet Earth at that time. The devil came in and stole everything from Job. Well, that would have been a perfect opportunity to see what God's take is on finances. Because God could have came back and just given Job exactly what he had, which would have made him, again, the richest person in the world. Which if God was against that, Job being so wealthy and Job having so much stuff, God could have said, well, Job, we'll just give you just a little bit. We'll just give you just a little bit, praise God. And then you can be humble. But see, God doesn't think like you think. God doesn't think like the religious places you grew up in and the religious people that told you your whole life that you need to be poor and just live on barely get along street, down next to Grumble Alley, down next to Poverty Lane and Depression Avenue. That's what religion been teaching you. I almost just spit all over my wife. That's why we put her in the front row, just in case, you know. But religion will tell you that. Then why did God not just restore Job to being the richest person in the world, but doubled everything he had? Because God said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble, Job. I don't care that you have more stuff than anybody else. Stuff doesn't bother God. Money doesn't bother God. Cars, houses, blessings for children don't bother God. It bothers God when those things have you. That's what bothers God. You look at Abraham. Abraham was the richest man on earth as well. And the Bible says he was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. And he was God's man. God picked him to cut a covenant with him. He didn't say, let's make you poor first. Religion. The good life. Hallelujah. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat, drive, wear, live in the good of the land. You will. But notice there's a clause. Not a Santa Claus. Although he's got a clause too, right? You can't be naughty. You got to be nice to get Santa's things. But if you be willing and obedient. Wait a minute. You mean not if I'm just a Christian? You mean not if I just go to church? You mean I actually have to do something to eat the good of the land? Yep. If you be willing and obedient. You know, Caleb, I can tell him certain things like, well, for example, you know, when people do things like this for children in school with their grades. You know, I've watched hunting shows where I'll see different dads on the hunting shows. You say, you know what, if you get straight A's this semester, we'll go on that hunting trip to Ohio or wherever. Why? The clauses are motivating factors to do the right thing. And God's saying, if you want the good of the land, here, I'm going to motivate you. You got to be willing and you got to be obedient. Praise God. Until you get willing and obedient to God, you'll never walk into the good of the land. So many people disqualify themselves from the good of the land, and they wonder, where's all this blessing that Pastor's talking about? Where's all this good stuff? Why is it crisis after crisis? Why does it never work for me? Are you meeting the conditions? Are you meeting the conditions? If you're not meeting the conditions, just like that kid comes back with C's, goes to their dad, I got C's. Sorry, son. Can't go to the hunting trip. I told you. You know, we do that with our kids. If you don't do the right thing, you can't get rewarded for not doing the right thing. If you be willing and obedient, you'll never realize that plan until you are. You know, getting into God's plan. You don't need God to speak to you to go to church. The Bible already tells you that. But what do you do then once you get into church? Once you plant yourself under a feeder, under a shepherd who will teach you the Word of God, what's the next step? Because not everybody's plan is the same. We looked at that Wednesday night, that we're the body of Christ. We're not all hands. We're not all eyes. We're not all ears. We all have different plans. What do we do then once we submit, get into a place where we're being taught, fed the Word of God? Well, that's what I'm going to show you today, going further in that plan of God. Because God's plan is not for you just to come into church and sit here like a bump on a log. That's never been God's plan. The Bible says that the pastor was given, in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Your job is to come in. Your ultimate purpose is to be a tool for Him. How sad for people when they get to heaven and they're standing before God Almighty and He says, I had so much for you to do that would have affected that person, that person, that person. You know, I remember along those lines, it was one of the old-time ministers said this. He said, eternity is going to cry out against us. Eternity's crying out against Christians who aren't faithful. Because if people are faithful, see, people don't just automatically get into God's plan. They need other people to help them with that. And eternity's crying out. And I'll tell you what, it sends chills to my bones to think of him standing there and saying, you know, see that person down in hell suffering in eternity? They wouldn't have it had you been faithful. That bothers me. I don't know if that bothers you, but that bothers me. This whole thing about Jesus and heaven, That's a reality to me. That's why I'm here this morning. And if that's a reality, if we really go to heaven and we really maybe only get 100 years down here, if we live really, really long, then that should cause us to change everything in our lives. Yeah. And again, you're thinking in your mind, oh, God, what's he going to make me do? What's God going to make me give up? You're looking at it wrong. You're looking at it through the eyes of religion and what you've been told. You're looking at it through the thoughts that the devil's given you of how horrible it's going to be to submit. No, it's not. That will be the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. You talk about, boom, blessing fireworks will just start going off in your life. Hallelujah. And, you know, I got saved on January 10th, 2002. And just to kind of give you an idea of what kind of a character I was, I got born again, and I had just come off of working 26 jobs in 2 years. Quit them all. Some of them hired me back 3 times. I had a way of talking myself back into that job. A couple times she called and quit and told them my grandma died. We had all sorts of excuses to use. I mean, I was just very shady, very unreliable, not a good person, filled with just terrible, terrible things, what the world would call a good person. I wasn't. And I got saved in January of 2002. And even to give you an idea, things were not working out for me. And to give you an idea of how I was even after I got born again, I was working at a restaurant. And I had been so conditioned that when things got tough or I didn't like it, just boom, go out the door. But now I have the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Something's different. But here it was, the job got hard, I was waitering, I hated it, I wasn't very good at it, and just didn't like it. And so my friend, Randy Nelbone, who led me to Jesus, got me this job. And now remember, I'm born again now. I'm just trying to give you an idea, because at this point in my life, things aren't working out. Still sick, still struggling financially, my mind's a mess, and I'm born again. That ought to not be that way for a children. Donald Trump's children should not be on the street living in a cardboard box. Donald Trump's children should not be worrying about how their cupboards are going to be filled. Why? They're Donald Trump's child. You Christians ought to not be stressed and worried and defeated and broke and sick. Why? They're the healer's son. They're the provisionist son. Daughter, glory to God. And here I am, a child of God, living broke, sick, disgusted. And I come back from work one night, and I'm staying at their house. And I go to them, and I'm like, did it again. They're like, what do you mean? You got to know Randy. He like prides himself on being like this mafia Italian guy, you know, just, what do you mean? I'm like, quit. What did you tell him? I said, yeah, I don't know if you want to know. So I told him I had a serious stomach illness. Now I'm born again. That's the kind of, and things aren't working for me. And I'm getting to the good part of the story, but to finish that story off, years later, I'm in Sam's Club with her parents and her. And this coach that I had, very loud and boisterous, this is years later after I quit this job. Of course, I repented for that and got straight, which I'll get to. I'm in Sam's Club, and this coach that is so loud, he just loves me for some reason. He's always just taken to me, and I haven't seen him in years. And from across Sam's Club, I hear, Mikey! I'm like, oh, hi, Doug. And he's like, he comes up to me, he's like, you're alive, like real loud. He's like, and he's like, serious. He's like, you're alive. I'm like, I'm confused. I'm like, what's he talking about? He's like, I heard years ago you had a stomach illness and you were on your deathbed. And her parents are hearing this. I'm like, over here, Doug. And I don't even remember what I said. I probably had to repent for that lie too. But that's the kind of shady character I was. Nothing working out for me. And in the fall of 2002, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm just going to be completely honest with you here. You know, don't judge me. But my fear, I know it sounds funny, my main fear was that when I submit to God, he's going to send me to China or Africa. That was my main fear. I mean, it hindered me from giving my heart completely to Jesus. See, a lot of Christians, they want the fire insurance. They want to just know that they're not going to hell. But see, God will let you have that, but the rest of your life on earth will not be as blessed as it could be. And you won't do anything for the kingdom. And so I liked having the fact that I was going to heaven. I believed in him. But I was scared to death that when I said, Lord, I'm all in. I'll obey, I'll obey, I'll obey. I was so afraid he'd say, okay, I want you to be a missionary in China. Why? Thoughts, wrong thoughts that the devil's feeding you. What's the devil feeding you today? What's the devil been feeding you of just diving in with God fully, of just giving your all to him? What's he lying to you about? He's trying to keep you out of something wonderful. See, the devil doesn't just lay down and say, waltz right in, it's so easy. No. He's going to fight you tooth and nail to keep you out of that plan. And I'm driving to the general store in Falconer, New York, and I'm working at this convenience store for minimum wage. And I'm opening the store in the morning, and I'm in my 1990 Nissan pickup with almost 200 some thousand miles, rust all over the place, wondering if it's going to get there the next. I'm driving there, and I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Just fed up with everything. You ever been there? Just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm driving there, and I said, I know there's something better. This was the fall. I got saved in January and immediately started going to church. I said, I've heard for over a half a year now how wonderful life with you can be. I said, I'm not seeing it. But see, I was smart enough even back then to know that's not his problem. It's never his problem. It's never he's doing something wrong or forgot you or messed it up a little bit. It's always on our end. And I was smart enough to at least know that. I said, I know I've seen people that are living it, but and I'm talking to him on the way there in the dark to open that store at like 4:30 in the morning. And I'm so fed up with being broke. I'm so fed up with being in fear and depressed all the time. And this is not what I'm hearing preached to me every Sunday and Wednesday night. And this verse came up in my heart. Isaiah 1:19, willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And I said to myself, well, I'm definitely not eating the good of the land. And why is the reason? I'm not willing and obedient. And the China and the Africa thing came up. And Lord said, you're not willing to go there. And you wouldn't be obedient if I did tell you to go there. How do you expect to eat the good of the land? And I got so ticked off. I hit the steering wheel and I yelled in my truck. I said, fine then. I'll go to China. I'll go to Africa. Wherever you want me to go, tell me, I'll do it. And he spoke in my heart, I never told you to go. I just wanted you to be willing. I said, oh, okay, calm down a little bit. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Because I was convinced. But here's the thing. As soon as I did that, that was the only thing that I knew of in my own heart that was hindering me from holding back. It's the only thing. And as far as I know now, there's nothing in my life that I wouldn't do for the kingdom. As far as I know. Now maybe something will come across my plate and it'll be a little bit. But see, God's never going to do anything to harm you. And so I said, I'll do it. I was in a service. It might have been the next Sunday service, I can't remember. And I'm sitting there during the salvation call, and Pastor Michael asked everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And in that service, I heard the audible voice of God. Out loud, I heard the audible voice of God tell me, go to Rhema. Well, Rhema was a Bible training school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And when they said that, all heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I was convinced somebody shouted that out in the seats. My head shot up. And I'm looking around and Pastor Michael's still up in the front pacing and praying and leading people in the salvation call. Nobody's other head. Listen, if all your heads are bowed and eyes are closed and somebody shouts out, go to Rhema! You're all going to look around if you hear that. It's going to shake things up. It's going to stop me in my prayer and be like, whoa, what was that? Who did that? Nothing stopped. It was God speaking to me. And when I realized that, the hair on my arm shot up. I had goosebumps. I started weeping because I finally knew I had a purpose in my life. I had quit 5 colleges, 26 jobs, all sorts of things. Why? I didn't know what my purpose was. And he said, go to Rhema. Finally, I had a plan. But guess what? It didn't happen until I became willing and obedient. See, once you get into church, the next step is, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in my life? What's next for me? Well, the good of the land's next for you if you'll do it. Praise God. You know, what's interesting is when Caleb was at a pool towards the end of summer, and encouraging him, you know, to jump into the water, and just jump in, buddy. What on the shore? That's not where the fun is. The fun is in the pool with all these floaties and all these different things, and daddy being able to splash you and throw you up in there and do things. The fun is not up here on the bricks. The fun is if you just jump into my arms, and see, because he trusts me. Because he knows me. Because I've only been good to him. See, a lot of your problem is you don't know God. You don't know God on an intimate enough level to jump into his arms. You're so afraid. Why? See, now if one of your children, if that little boy, and I'm on the edge saying jump, he ain't going to jump. He don't know me from anybody. He's going to look at me like, this, get this creep away from me. Right? But Caleb, daddy would never drop me. Daddy would never let me fall in the water. Daddy would never let me sink. Boom, jump right into my arms. Same with God. See, a lot of people don't know God well enough to trust Him, that He loves you so much, that even if He told me to go to China or Africa, that's where the most blessing would have been for me, that's where the most peace would have been for me. Hallelujah. You see, my heart is I just want to see people eating the good of the land. I want to see marriages so strong and children serving God and people in church and hearing from heaven and families being blessed and finances being changed and people that you'd never think would come into the kingdom being touched by the goodness of God. See, if you start eating the good of the land, people are going to take notice. When all hell's breaking loose outside and the world's bad and the world's going downhill and you're thriving, you're prospering, you're being blessed, circumstances and situations come, but you still got joy. That's what's going to draw people to you. That's my heart for this message, is to start seeing people, family strength and children strength and glory to God. Such a passion to see that, praise God. But until you become willing and obedient, go with me to Luke 22. Luke 22. I know in the heart of people here today, there's been just a desire to just let loose. Just a desire to just surrender for once and for all. What you're in the back of your mind thinking, what would that actually be like? If I actually was serving God, open to whatever He said, what would that look like? There's that desire in there that people just want to do it. Hopefully today pushes you over the edge. You see, I don't mind it. I wouldn't do this in the natural, but in the spiritual, I don't mind walking by you when you're on the pool going like this, God just saying, go get in the water. Because He's going to catch you. He's going to catch you. Now, if I was like that and someone did that to my kid, we'd be having words. But spiritually, we could just shove you off because I know you'll be okay. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're trying to help you here today. Luke 22. Let's see here. In verse 39. This is Jesus, and He came out and went as He was to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. Excuse me. And when He was at that place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Now notice this. This is the night Jesus gets taken captive to go die a horrible, gruesome death, go to hell for 3 days. Look what Jesus prayed. Now what was the will of the Father? That Jesus die on that cross. That was God's will. Why? Because when Jesus died on that cross, the sins of the world were placed on Him. The sickness, the poverty of the world was placed on Him. God's desire was to see through Jesus, everybody being able to walk into righteousness, getting their sins forgiven. So God's plan was Jesus die on that cross. And see, Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, are equals. So that was Jesus' plan too. But see, when Jesus came to earth, He took on the form of a man. He laid deity aside. He laid being the Son of God aside and became a human in human flesh. He got hungry. He got tired. He was tempted. He needed to sleep. He had to do all these things. Now, don't tell me anybody here, even though it would be God's will, right, to do something, it might not be the easiest on your flesh. It was not easy on my flesh to go to Ramah. To pick up and not knowing anybody down there, 18 hours away, pack up my truck and just drive to a place I knew nobody, had no job, had enough to live for 1 month. That was not easy. That was not easy. And it was not easy for Jesus to go to that cross. See, so many people think, well, He was just God, it was easy. No, He was a human being. He was God in human form. And look what Jesus said in verse 42. Father, if You're willing, remove this cup from me. What cup? The cup of death. Now notice what Jesus said. And this is what we need to pray every day. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Because Jesus knew that the Father's will was perfect. Jesus knew that where the Father's will was the blessing. And you might think to yourself, well, what blessing did Jesus get from this? Well, Jesus, because he is God, got the blessing of seeing how many people would come into the kingdom. How many people would become family members. The Bible says that because Jesus became humbled and obedient to the point of death on the cross, that wherefore God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name above all names, that at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. You know what Jesus got out of it? He got exalted to the top. He got exalted to the top. Name above all names. But He said, nevertheless, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Not my will, but Your will be done. Galatians 5 and verse 17. And we'll be done here in a few minutes. Galatians 5 and verse 17. Say, okay, this all sounds good, but I don't know. That's what we're getting to finish up with, of why you should do it. We must die to ourselves. Galatians 5 and verse 17 says, "For the flesh lust or wars," that word is, "against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." What that verse is telling us, just like what Jesus was going through in the garden, the Spirit's will was, go through with this, die on the cross. But Jesus' flesh was, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to go through with this. Flesh and the Spirit are lusting against one another. But see, if you'll learn, and hopefully with what we're going to show you here in a second, if you'll learn that when you go the Spirit's route, you'll never lack. You'll never miss out. It'll never be behind. It might trip your mind up. It might seem scary at first to jump in. But you know, once Caleb jumps in, wow, everything Daddy said came to pass. I get to swim around. I get to splash around. I get to play with all these floaties. I couldn't do that on dry land. Everything pastor's telling you and what the word's saying, once you dive in, all the things with health, all the things with prosperity, peace, being in the victory, hearing from heaven will all come to pass, just waiting for you to jump in, if you be willing and if you be obedient. So we need to die to ourselves, and that I love that verse because that tells me that I don't have to feel like doing everything. If you think that I always felt like driving, this was my first time not driving to Olean. I think I missed one service. I was out of town. In a whole year on a Saturday. Given Saturday was my first time. It was so weird yesterday not having that to do. But if you think that was easy on the flesh every Saturday to not even be able to do anything other than get ready for the word, because I won't days I preach, then drive an hour and 15 minutes, set up a service in a hotel, come all the way back home, get ready for service the next day. If you think that was easy on the flesh, you're wrong. If you think I felt like I always wanted to do it, you're wrong. But I don't have to always feel like I want to do it, and that helps me. I just got to do it. I just got to do it. Because my flesh wants to be lazy. My flesh doesn't want to pray. My flesh doesn't want to be here. My flesh doesn't want... But your flesh will get you in trouble. The Bible says that the flesh leads to destruction. See, so many people are going by their emotions, going by their feelings. Just start going by what God says. Amen. It'll help you. But anyways, go with me to Luke chapter 9. A few verses, and then we're going to be done. I'm going to finish up here on a high note for you. Luke chapter 9. He's waiting. Oh, the good of the land is just dangling out there for you. It's just waiting for you. Just waiting for you. Well, I'm never going to become faithful to church. You'll never eat the good of the land. Yeah. Well, I don't need a pastor. You'll never eat the good of the land. Come on. I'm not going to do what God tells me. Then you're never... You can do that. God will let you be broke. Yeah. Oh, ouch. Ooh, that one hurt. It's truth. A good pastor will tell you the truth. Yeah. A good pastor will tell you the truth and not fluff it up to you. You know what's good for you? Is a good turkey sandwich is healthy for you. Fluff sandwich isn't good for you. I'll give you the meat. The fluff's not good. It might feel good. It might taste good, but it'll rot your teeth and get your sugar high. Mess you up. Yeah, you eat enough fluff, you'll get messed up. A good pastor will feed you the right things. The right things. The good things from the Word. God will let you be broke. God will let you be poor. God will let you be sick. God will let you be depressed. God will let you be scared. God will let you be worried. If you want it, you can have it. He ain't gonna move heaven and earth to pull you out. He already moved heaven and earth by sending Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Now here you go. Because now we're going to squash religion. We're going to punch the devil right in the eyes here. Because he's already telling you, I'm scared to surrender. I'm scared to give it all. I'd be missing out on this. It's like I told the people in Olean that were called to be there. Saturday nights in the summertime, lots of stuff to do. Lots of things that you could be doing. And you might be in your mind thinking, I'm missing out on this. I'm missing out on that. They didn't miss out on anything. There's no family get together. There's no baseball game. There's no yard work that can top being under the Word of God. But the devil will feed it to people. Oh, don't do that. You're missing out. No, you're gaining everything. Luke 9, verse 23, and he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily. That prayer of consecration is a prayer that you should pray every day. Father, not my will today, but your will. Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to do today, Father? What do you want, where do you want me to go? It's funny, I have a gentleman who always tells me, Lord willing, I'll be at church next week. Oh, he's willing. Trust me, he's willing. You just need to be willing. It should be more like, if you're willing, you'll be here. Praise God. But then listen to what it says in verse 24. You ready? You ready, devil? You ready for this, devil? For whosoever will save his life will lose it. God's plan for you is never decrease. God's plan for you is never less. But the Bible says if you try to save your life, what's he saying? You know, that's why, again, if you have one of these, I'm not coming down hard, but that whole bucket list idea, that I gotta get all this stuff in for me before I die. Are you kidding me? I'm an eternal being. I'm never dying. When this life ends, it only gets better for me. I don't have to struggle to try to get everything in and put my, you know, I'm taking my kids out. No, get ready for the holy hush. When you start talking about kids, children, it gets quiet. I'm not going to make sure my kids are in all these sporting events and missing church, because what if my kids miss out? Oh, no. My kids will never miss out being in the Word of God. What if I actually submit to having to have to do a Saturday night service and a Sunday service and I could miss out? It's a lie from the enemy. Because if I lose my life for his sake, the same will save it. God says it's the opposite of what the devil's telling you. The devil's telling you if you give up for God and surrender to him, that life is going to get so hard and miserable. No. Why do you think you're thinking that so much? Because the devil is standing there with a machine gun of thoughts, pumping those in. Why? To keep you out of it. Your best days are there for the taking. They're sitting on a table, laid out on a platter, just waiting for you to pull up, waiting for people to lead the way, to get their families in there, to serve God. Glory to God. It'll just transform everything. Your job, your family, your kids, your finances, your health. Just waiting. For who will ever save his life is going to lose it. Things are going to be taken away from you. Things are going to be subtracted from you. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. Now I'm going to just rattle off a few verses and show you to give the devil a black eye. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Because the renewing of the mind will help you walk this out. This is what's going to help you jump into the water with him. Matthew 6:33. But seek first everything you want to do. Your plans, your ways. No. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and life will get bad. Oh, I'm sorry. The glare on my Bible made it so I couldn't see that clearly. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you're going to be missing out in life. How many of you like addition? I like addition into my life of good things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What are the things? Well, you need to look in the verses prior. The things that pertain to life. The provision you need. Hallelujah. You see, when you give it up and say, okay, Lord, this pastor showed me, be in church. Number one, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to get there. I'm going to get willing. What is it right now, ask yourself, that you'd be unwilling to do for God? Is it serving the nursery? Uh-oh. Is it? I remember when I was the associate at the Jamestown Church, and a lady came in all guns a-blazing, wanting to help and serve, clean, all clean. And she said, but don't you dare ask me to do the toilets. I said, disqualified. Disqualified, not willing and obedient. What are you not willing to do for the Lord? That's the area that's keeping you from the good of the land. Is it be faithful to church? Is it love your spouse? Is it, I don't know what it is. Is it talk to somebody? Is it to tell pastor, I have a talent. If you ever need somebody to do something, or pastor, do you need someone in nursery? Do you need someone to stand out in the parking lot? Do you need more ushers? What is it that's holding you back? Those are the things that's keeping you from the good of the land. Amen. It is. But Jesus says, if you'll seek first my kingdom, I'll just keep adding to you. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Trying to encourage people to go all in with him. Amen. You know, I was such a wuss when I was a kid. I was a wuss. I had, it was, and I look back now and I see that it was a spiritual thing, because I was terrified every single day of my life when I was a young kid that my house would burn down or somebody would break in. I know it sounds funny now as a 35-year-old to think that, but when you're 10, 11, and 12 and you're going to bed every single night convinced someone's coming into your house and that's going to burn down, it was just a spiritual attack on me. Right. And I think about all the times, like different things I missed out on. I was the guy at the pool party that was an hour long and I only got 10 minutes of swimming because the whole time I'm on the edge going, oh, it's cold. And all my friends are diving in and having fun, and I'm on the edge. That's why I named my son Caleb, because Caleb was a man of faith in the Bible. And I said, you're not going to be like your dad was when he was a kid. You are going to be full of faith and full of fire. And when 2 million people will not believe God, you're going to believe God. I said, you're not going to be like, I mean, it's such spiritual attacks I look back on now. But man, when I would plunge in, I finally realized, what an idiot. It's so much better this way. Praise God. I had a lady from the Jamestown Church come up to me weeping, just weeping. I was preaching at a group called Pillars of God they had. It was a Friday night service. And got on the topic of finances and tithing. And I said, so the Spirit's telling me to say this, so I'm going to say it. And he was. I don't just make that up. I said, there's somebody in here, you always just wondering, what if I would just do it? What if I would actually not just try it one time or maybe once every 3 weeks? If I would actually tithe on every bit of income that comes in, what would happen? I said, I just dare you to finally just do it and see what happens. She came up to me, this was months later, bawling. Pastor, thank you so much for encouraging me to jump into tithing. And she went and listed all the blessings that just started coming into her life because she started to get faithful. It's the same thing with anything, financially, church attendance. The devil's scaring you. Oh, what's behind door number, whatever, if you're faithful. Only the best life you've ever dreamed of. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall be tied down with weights and their life's ruined because they have to come to church and they might have to serve and God might tell me to do something that's uncomfortable. Nope, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Another clause of why people are not abounding. Are you faithful? Praise God. But there's just another idea. If you jump in with God, John 15 and verse 7. Give me 2 minutes to finish these verses. John 15 and verse 7. You know, there's some people that are disqualified. I'm just going to say it. Some people are disqualified from doing things for the kingdom of God because of things they put in their body. The way they conduct themselves. Oh, absolutely. Think about me as a pastor, some of the things that would disqualify me. Yeah, I can't just live any way I want. I can't just do anything I want. I gotta be a vessel of holiness unto God. But yeah, there's people that, God will have something for them, but because they just refuse to put themselves under, they'll never walk into those things. Yeah. So whoever that was for, just do with it what you want to. Praise God. John 15, verse 7. Again, that was real good. Let me give myself some credit. Pastor, good job. Awesome preaching today. You're really helping us. John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means you do the word of God, you shall ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. That's awesome. If you'll obey God, he says, you'll ask me for anything, I'll give it to you. Wow. That's cool. 1 John 3 and verse 22, and we'll close with this. 1 John 3 and verse 22. Just dive in. He loves you. Actually, I lied. There's one more verse after this. 1 John 3 and verse 22. Whew. Oh, the days of religion blinding people and saying you just got to show up and just do whatever you want in life. No, there's conditions. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. All right. That sounds good. Unfortunately, there's a rest of that verse. Because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. What does that mean? It doesn't mean being perfect. It means being willing and obedient. And then we'll close for real, for promise, in Romans 8. Romans 8. Now, verse 32. This will be your final. We've already seen he's got the good life, a prosperous life, a blessed life for you in the plan of God. We see that it takes you being willing and obedient. So you're on that edge. You see daddy with his arms open and all that daddy has in that water. is all the prosperity, the peace, the joy, the victory, the health. Everything's there and you're on the edge and you're just about to jump into his arms. This is going to be the thing that's going to push you over the edge. Romans 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now explain that to me. Why would that make me jump? Because the only reason you don't jump is because of fear. The only reason you don't surrender is because you're afraid of what that will look like. The only reason that 100% of the church does not tithe is because you're afraid. You think it's going to cause you to lack. The only reason people don't show up on fire every single week is you're afraid you could miss out on some things. That whatever else you're doing is more worth it. See, it's all fear and lies from the enemy. He sent you Jesus. He gave you the greatest gift one could ever give you. He's not telling you to jump into his arms so he can hold you under. So he can sink your life. So he can make things hard. So he can make things tough. He already showed you, I'm good, I love you, I'm for you. Just jump. Just jump into my arms. And I'll bless you and I'll open up all these things to you. All the blessings that I have will be yours. Just jump. And again, it's not about being perfect. Nobody is. Every day I'm repenting for something. It's true. Lord, I missed it in this area. But I'm eating the good of the land. And I'm hearing from heaven on a daily basis. And my family's blessed. Why? I'm willing and obedient. Anything that he talks to me about, I'll do it. I'll do it. As much as I know, I'll do it. He saved me from hell. My God, it's the least I can do. Hallelujah. See, we've belittled the promise of salvation, that it's not that big of a deal anymore. He saved you from hell. Who cares if there's even any prosperity promise, any blessing promise? When this life is over, you don't have to burn. That's worth it right there. But then all this other stuff comes in with it. Praise God. Well, hope you were blessed today. I was. I'm jumping in. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your mercy, your goodness. Father, encourage people. Lord, you're a lover of them. You care about them. You're not trying to hurt them. You're not trying to take money from them. You're not trying to rob their time and hurt their family. Lord, you just care so much for them. Lord, help them to feel that love, Lord, tangibly. Father, wrap your arms around them and bring them close. Let them know that you're so caring, so loving, and so kind. Father, we love you today. Thank you for what you have in store for us. And Father, areas where we're struggling in, it's about being willing to change. It's not that we have to have all our ducks in a row. It's not that we have to have everything perfect. That's not possible. You knew that we'd have troubles. That's why you came. But it's about being willing to change, about being willing to do something different with your life. Father, I just thank you for everything you have. Lord, I can see it in the spirit realm, the wonderful things that you have for people. Lord, help them not to walk out of here and put this on the shelf. Help them to see that not only for themselves, what a blessing it would bring to the ones they love. What a blessing it would bring not only to the ones they love, but people they'll come in contact with that might be on their way to hell, that might be on their way to a depressed life, a broken down life, that they can help. Father, it's not just about us. It's about other people. But Lord, you're encouraging us to jump. So I encourage everybody, just jump into him. Jump into him. Start by being faithful to where God's called you. If he hasn't called you here, go where he's called you. But be faithful there. Attend when you can. Do everything you can to be there to hear the word of God. Opening your heart. Tell him, Lord, I'll do whatever it is. If there's things that you say, you know what, just don't ask me to do that. That's where you need to work on. He's just waiting to bless you. Father, you didn't ask me to go to China. You just wanted me to be willing to go there. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. You're a good dad. You're a good dad. You're a good father. You're a loving father. You're not evil. You're not hurtful. You're not trying to mess our lives up. You're trying to make it so much better. Devil, you are a liar. You are a liar, telling people, trying to keep people out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So stop listening to the lies. Stop listening to the deceitfulness of the enemy. Those things that are pressing you, those things that are apparent, those things that are telling you no, 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 no. The hotter it gets, the more intense those things come, just shows you the greater the glory on the other side of those things. Lord, we bless you. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question today. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that. If the answer isn't a 100%, I know I'm going to heaven, it can be. God's made that simple too. From places I grew up, places my wife grew up, we were told that you had to jump through religious hoops to get accepted by God, that you had to clean up your life, and that you had to be perfect before He would accept you. That's just not the case. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, the way that you are, you'll be saved. Not after you're cleaned up. He don't clean His fish before He catches them. Praise God. You don't come to Him in like a flail fish on a bun and looking good. You come to Him all nasty and slimy. And He accepts you that way. He loves you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to have anybody come to the front. We're not going to have you stand up. But if you've never accepted Jesus and you want to know what it's like to experience this wonderful life with Him, would you just raise your hand with heads bowed and eyes closed if you want to receive Jesus? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. See, we're not trying to embarrass people. Anybody else want to receive Jesus for the first time that has never done it? Want to raise your hand? Anybody else? Father, we had one hand, so I'm so thankful for that. And Father, sometimes people are just shy to raise their hands, or there may be people listening by live stream right now or in the archives in the future that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life. And if you raised your hand, just listen closely. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, you're qualified for salvation. Doesn't matter what you've done before. Doesn't matter what you did 10 years ago. Doesn't matter what you did before you came in here. It matters what you do with Jesus now. The Bible says you need to call on His name. That means we need to say something. But you're not going to say anything on your own. We're all going to pray together as a whole church. But I ask you, as I ask you to repeat these words, just mean them with all your heart. Don't just say them, but mean them. That person that raised their hand and everybody else with that person, would you go ahead and say this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You rose again from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now the next step for that person and the next step for everybody, find where God's calling you to go, where God's feeding you, and plant yourself there and watch Him start to change you. Amen. Have an awesome rest of the weekend. Go Bills, right? And we'll be back here Wednesday night, 6:30. We'll see you then. You're dismissed. Don't forget.